Welcome everyone to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we will be discussing episode 12 of Andor, the season one finale of the show. As always, guys, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, go ahead and pause it, go watch the episode, and then come on back so you guys can hear what I had to say about the episode. And as always, guys, if you don't mind, I'll just say it at the end. But let's get right into it. So episode 12 of Andor finally premiered on Wednesday. It was exactly what I envisioned and hoped it would be. It was a great season finale, in my opinion. I don't think I enjoyed exactly where we were going. It's also nice that we did have the confirmation that this show was going to get a season two pretty early. So the fact that we had that is kind of, one of those safe bets where it just gives you that safe feeling that, they were able to end the season the way they wanted to, the way that we know it's going to end on a cliffhanger, obviously, because that's just the way to bring us back for season two. And let's get into some of the, high points of basically what happened in this episode. And basically we go to Ferrix, and just like we knew, everything worked according to plan, like episode 11 was kind of alluding to, right? Everything was kind of, hey, Cassian's going to make his way to Ferrix. It's the only way to have a real season finale anyway. And you know that it was going to see what was going to happen once he got there. And again, just like pretty much, which was pretty obvious, all of the characters who've been in the show were going to meet, well, not the ones that are still alive, but all of the major characters who were part of the show were going to all meet at this, location, because something was going to go down, and you kind of set everything up for this, right? So, it was a really good episode. I thought they did the darkness that this show has is something that I admire, in because we don't get sorrow stories like this, where we get this very dark tone to the show where good things are not happening, right? Like, we're seeing the Empire actually like be very oppressive, and the way that they're going about their means of actions and the way that they're handling things, it's very, it is very upfront, and it's very like, wow, this is really dark. And we knew Deidre had this plan all along, basically to get everyone, as many people into at least a way to try and trap Cassian, right? So that was the whole goal of this. That's why they were allowed to have this funeral, things like that. What they didn't predict is how the people of Ferrix were going to react during all of this. So I thought just the whole setup and how we've got different things in motion, because again, we have Val and Cinta are on there. We also know, we see that Luthen makes his way to Ferrix also, just to see, obviously, to see this plan out, because he feels like this is a loose end, and we've been seeing basically how he's handling loose ends or handling things. He's all about, he feels he's too deep into this to fail. So he's taking any cuts, anything he can, just to keep whatever this rebellion is sacred, making sure it's going to succeed. And the real thing is, you're obviously, and we know later on that you're going to need people like that, right? Because the whole idea of someone being, just because we didn't see it as, growing up in Star Wars, but just because you have this big world, and you would have needed a team, basically like the team we saw in Rogue One, to handle certain jobs or missions and stuff like that. And we can see that Luthen was one of those characters who was really willing to bend those lines, because he knew what state they were in, and the way that things were going, he wanted to make sure this all succeeded. So his goal was to try to kill Andor so that there's no loose ends. He doesn't want any ties up or anything that can report back to him, which, a person in his position is going to want that, because you can't stay secretive if too many people know who you are, right? So he wants to be the person who gets to hide behind and really plan out and not get to enjoy his success or things like that. So he's being super careful. We see that Bix is still in captivity. She's kind of having this post-trauma from the torture. We don't know that later on until Cassian meets her up, which I'll get to. But basically, we have all of our characters set up in these situations of, you know, on their way to Ferrix or already on Ferrix, and they're all here for the funeral. And as the funeral arrangements are going, things like that, we see that, again, Cassian makes his way there. He meets up with a buddy, basically, to say, he actually does a really heartwarming scene where he goes to the brick, which we know that's the Ferrix tradition, is that when the people die, they put them on the bricks of Ferrix so that they can, you know, so that they can be remembered, and they put their names there and stuff like that. And we see that Cassian's in his place because he gets there to Ferrix where he, you know, is trying to see what's going on. Obviously, he misses his, you know, he feels bad he wasn't there for his mother, especially because when he said, you know, I was coming back, I wanted to come back, like, I wanted to go with her. Like, it sucks that I wasn't there for all of it when it went down. I should have been here. And, you know, being really down on himself. And, you know, Marva knew that he would say that. So when I forget his name, but when he spoke to, you know, when he said to Cassian that Marva said you would say all of this, and it's not your fault that you weren't here. Like, you know what I mean? You obviously were taking care of what you needed to take care of, and don't feel bad. And just being very motherly, which is what Marva's character is to Cassian. So just her explaining that, like, you know, knowing what her son is going to say, and just, you know, how he was going to react to the situation of her own death is very, very motherly, like, right? So we know that that was the kind of thing that was going to happen. And we also know that Cassian has this tall task because he feels like Ferrix is his home. And of course, it, you know, because that's his mother's home, he's going to have an attachment to it, right? So he's obviously going to want to do whatever he can to help them, but he's also looking for, you know, a reason to do that. And just, you know, as we follow him along the way, he goes to that brick, which is Clem's brick, his adopted father, and just, you know, a very good speech, you know what I mean, like, of things, basically, of, you know, how to be, or, you know, life lessons that Andor learned from them. So they were really showing the Andor family, like, you know, his family and how his adopted parents were some form of inspiration to him. And I thought it was really cool how we went down those lines of basically these memories and stuff like that. We also heard a very good thing from Nemec, who was one of the guys that died in the what's the name of the thing? In the Aldani heist. So remember, he had that, they gave him, he had the, what was the name? The memoir, basically, that he left for Andor, and he wanted Andor to read. And we know at that time in the episodes that, earlier in the season, that he wasn't there, that Andor wasn't a, you know, big fan of the rebellion or, you know, any idea of that. He just wanted to make sure that, you know, he was going to have enough money to protect Marva and, you know, and Bix and all, everyone that he owed money to. That was his original plan, right? He never really cared that much about being in part of this rebellion. And for him to now be getting these different inspirations and listening to, you know, the memoirs and stuff like that of Nemec was really cool, because we also see how Nemec thought about the Empire and how much of an oppression that he thought they were, right? Just basically, you know, how he knows what, you know, they're going to be desperate at some time. Like, one of the things that they said that I really liked, it was like, the Imperials' need for control is so desperate because it is so unnatural. Tyranny requires constant effort. It breaks, it leaks. Authority is brittle. Oppression is the mask of fear. And I loved that line. Like, that's such a good line of just, you know, what everything that the Empire is doing, because what's the biggest fear for the Empire is losing the power that they have gained. Right. And that's one of those things that you see constantly during the Star Wars series. Right. Especially like Vader's, you know, fear to, but he's masking his fear of, like, you know, losing this power that he had, or also just the realization of the fear of his, you know, meeting his children and him not being the father that they thought they were, like stuff like that. So that whole line to me was really cool. And just it kind of cements the whole, it's a good part of what a lot of the motives and things like that were for the Empire, right? Because even Palpatine, where you have like that loss of, he has, you know, absolute power over the galaxy, and what's his biggest fear is losing that, right? So he wants to make sure that anything is eradicated, right? Like anything that could cause him losing that potential power, he wants out. So I thought that just having that memoir and them doing bits of where they were reading it out and stuff like that, I thought it was really good. But it also gives that nice, it gives you that nice inspiration of why Andor is making this change, right? It also foreshadows what's going to happen on later on in the episode. But he basically, you know, we're seeing his turn to why he wants to potentially be more rebellious about the actions. He's also already, we already knew he was tired of the Empire from, you know, earlier in the season, but now we definitely can see how like the people around him have now affected the way that he would basically think about the rebellion and being a part of it and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. I like how they did all of that. So it made a lot of sense, and basically just going back to things that they set up in season one. I mean, earlier in the season, just to, you know, kind of close those strings. And I thought that whole thing was dope. So I enjoyed that a lot. Then we had the funeral, which was fantastic. The funeral was so good. Like, it just became something that would make sense for what Marva's character was already feeling towards her death, right? She was already, that's one of the reasons Cassian didn't stay, or I mean, she didn't leave with Cassian. Because she wanted to stay and fight, right? She wanted to be, even in her state where, you know, obviously she wasn't feeling well, or, you know, being basically, you know, dying, she basically was like, I need to record this one thing and basically I want to fight. Like I, the way that we just basically have taken, you know, we've become comfortable here, right? With the way that the life has been at Ferrix, and when her hologram opens up, and I guess that's one of the things that they didn't account for, right? Was what is she going to say, right? Because now they've given them all this access to be able to come inside, and, you know, they had a little bit more people. The funeral actually started earlier. Like, so they were doing a bunch of things to throw the Empire off, because deep down, I feel like the people of Ferrix already started to know too, right? And they wanted to make sure, and obviously Cassian had, you know, some parts to play in that, but it was to throw the Empire off, because we know the Empire works best when everything is exactly the way they want it to, because everything else becomes more predictable if the people are not fighting or, you know, talking back to them. It's just, you know, it's very easy to control, to maintain the pace of what they're trying to do. So now that things are kind of working a little bit off kilter, which is something that we see with Deidre's character too, is where she's not very, she's a really well-prepared character, like for before things happen, because she wants to make sure she can, you know, kind of plan it out. But we saw later on, once I get there, but we saw what happens when things get a little chaotic. Things are starting to turn on her plan, which again, it's starting early because they had no idea it was going to start early. And they didn't account for the hologram that B was going to play, right? So, and the message behind it. And Marva didn't start off, you know, saying, you know, oh, let's fight, let's do all this stuff. Basically, she's going into saying, we've become very complacent. We've enjoyed the life that we're having, even though we're, you know, it's not the right life for us. Like it's not something that people on Ferrix do. Like, you know what I mean? We just became very open to being controlled and things like that. And it was really cool for her to just start breaking down and saying, like, I understand, like, you know, we wake up every day and we go and we do our work and we give them money, and we were just happy with that. And then she just goes on to start being, you know, starting to rally the troops more than anything else. And we can see that there's going to be a big, you know, fight pretty much that's about to happen. So she starts to go and she says a really good line where she says, you know, it's, it may be, you know, maybe it's too late, but basically if I could do it again. And then she goes, but I'll tell you this, if I could do it again, I'd wake up early and be fighting these bastards from the start, fight the Empire. And then this is what starts to trigger everything going there. And she said one of the cool lines where she was like, it might be easy to tell, you know, it's easy for the dead to tell people to fight because, you know, they're not part of that fight. But she was so beloved in the town that, you know, people were like, oh, well, we're going to fight for Marva. Like, you know what I mean? And we see that the fights start going off. Like, and man, this is, again, when I was talking about earlier, the darkness of this episode, I mean, episode of the series, but people were getting taken out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, once they realized that this riot was going to get started, we see what happens. People are getting hit. Like, you know what I mean? And Pegla, that's what's his name. But basically we see people getting hit, people getting shot down. Like the stormtroopers went instantly into like, you know, being it like, you know, being ready to shoot anybody or like on site for fighting and stuff like that. And just, we see the bomb scene with the kid, you know, who, you know, was hurt because of his father, being hung pretty much. Like just a lot of darkness in this episode, but it makes you feel for what they're going through. So I think, like, again, I preferred this. I like this tone because it's so, like, it's so different than what we normally get, right? And we started getting there, right, with Mandalorian and things like that. But now we're getting to a spot where we can actually talk about, like, these dark stories in Star Wars where we're seeing how the oppression is and just the fact that they're, like, everyone was willing to fight. Like, at that point, they were willing to die there, right? They were, because they were so tired of it. They got that kick, that juice that they needed in order for that to happen. So I thought it was a really cool scene. During that whole fight scene, because a lot of people were just, you know, it was what you would think a riot would be at that, like in that space, right? So they did a really good job. They didn't hold back with people. You know, we are losing some characters. You know, the kid gets protected. Things like that. It was just Cassian is in the meantime is saving Bix. And we can see that Bix, you know, is really tired and really like just she's pretty much lost a lot because of the way that, you know, they've been torturing her and stuff like that. So it's been, you know, it's really dark, even though like we're having heroic moments. We see Luthen kind of again, not seeing this going to as planned. So he's kind of like, I need to get out of here so I don't get caught. We see Deidre is in the middle of the rioting people. And then Cyril comes out of nowhere and saves her. And then they kind of have a moment. But that's so weird because, like, he literally stalked her to that spot. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, and now she's like, you know, I probably should thank you for that. And he was like, you don't. I'm not getting the whole stalker vibe. It's a really weird, but we'll see where that story goes because there's going to be more of it in season two. And then before a lot of this went down, we saw a key moment with Mon Mothma where she was speaking to her husband and talking about basically in the she knows that her driver is pretty much a spy. So we see that that conversation basically where she's like, you know, oh, are you gambling again and stuff like that? And she says, yeah, like, he's like, no, are you like, why would I do that? And all that stuff. But we know that the driver was an ISB like driver. So she's basically working on this. So again, she wants to be able to move that money around. So she's now blaming her husband. And we saw that, of course, the driver immediately goes to report it. Basically saying like, oh, this thing is happening. And basically they eat it up. So Mon comes up with a good thing because she's preparing for that money to come in. And that's what she wants to kind of throw them off. Even if it at this cost is costing things with her husband, she doesn't really necessarily care about. But that means something else is about to happen, right? So and we're seeing that she actually ends up having that conversation with her daughter. Not her daughter, but they're following that tradition with now, with Davo. So we see that Mon's plan is going to happen. She doesn't really want it to happen, but it has to happen because she feels like she has no other another choice. And we'll get more into that story, you know, again, just setting up for season two, one of the things that they set up. So we're going to see how that ends up playing out. And then, yeah, so we have that big war. We end up seeing Bix get saved. He ends up saving most of his characters. And we then go to, you know, they send them off on the ship, basically. And I think, I don't know if this means we won't see those characters in season two. I would think so, because season two is pretty much supposed to be the last season anyway, because this is confirmed that this is going to lead right into Rogue One. And obviously we know the fortunes of Rogue One. So, and they're not going to have a show Andor without the main character being alive. So, if this is leading up to the events of Rogue One, then, it's going to be, yeah, I think this was our send off of those characters. I don't think we're going to see those characters again. We might see Bix one more time, but I don't think we're going to see the characters that were on there. But yeah, so we're pretty much getting to like wrapping that episode up. And we see that Andor is not going to join them. He said he'll find them. They have that moment. And then he ends up going back. And At this point, I knew he was going to end up going to find Luthen, right? Because he knew the whole time that what was going to happen, where Andor was smart enough to know, like, he's going to try to tie his loose ends and things like that. So he ends up going, you know, hey, I knew you were going to kind of show up. So he basically, they end up on the ship together, and Andor's like, you know, he's basically Cassian saying, you know, you can kill me. Like, this is no game. Like, you can either kill me or you can take me in, because this part means he feels like he's done, right? And he doesn't feel this, but like, you know, he doesn't feel this, the will to continue, like, just like going out on the run or stuff like that. But he also doesn't want to put his friends in danger anymore, especially after he lost Marva. So we get this very good scene, basically, where he's just like, no, don't, you know, kill me. But obviously we obviously see Luthen smirk about this, where he's really happy because he knows he's just got a new asset, right? Like a new person who is going to be able to really help him, and is willing to skirt those lines and stuff like that. And then these are where we're probably gonna get a lot of these, the setup to season two is going to be the setup to Rogue One, which is also supposed to be 12 episodes, but we're going to see how we'll probably have like a story in there. But it's going to be like, I'm going to assume it's going to be stealing things and gathering information to see what's going on with the Death Star. And speaking of the Death Star, clearly we see at the post credit scene that the Death Star is being built. And it looked fantastic. Just when they're showing off their graphics in this show, they made sure they put it in the scenes that we really cared about, like really wanted to. They really made space look really cool, which kind of tells me also, I feel like we'll see some space battling a little bit more in season two, which I'm all down for. So I'm interested to see who we'll get as, you know, some guests and things like that in this. I'm surprised we didn't see the K2 relationship, but I'm obviously for sure we're going to get it in the next season, right? Where he's probably going to reprogram a K2 droid. So I'm excited to see that. So I'm sure for sure getting K2. I'm surprised we didn't get K2. I actually thought that was going to be the end credit scene. I thought we were going to get an end credit scene where like maybe they showed it, but because, you know, with their relationship. So overall though, I loved this show. It's up there for me for one of my favorite Star Wars shows. Maybe I'll do a list of that, but I really, really enjoyed the show. I think they did a really good job. It was a strong season one. Like I said, I'm a big fan of being in that Rogue One world. And I'm not the biggest fan of prequels, just because I feel like with prequels, you kind of know what's going to happen. There's no real, but they did a real good job at playing around with that kind of stuff. Like, obviously we knew Cassian wasn't going to die there, but still they made the characters around him, made us care about those characters, and then affected those characters that ultimately affected the character to get him to where we know him. And I think we're going to see some more of that in season two, as they go through the world of like leading up to those events. So overall, I thought the show was fantastic. I'm going to miss this show. It sucks because we don't get new Star Wars until pretty much January, where we get season two of Bad Batch. And then February, we do get Mando. So Mando season three. So there's a lot to look for. We're just going to get December off pretty much of Star Wars. And, you know, we're just cycling to the end of the year. So, yeah, besides that, guys, like, thank you for joining me with all these 12 episodes. For the ones who've been listening, thank you. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Again, tell me what you guys thought of the season finale and season one of Andor. You could, you know, I need to start posting these on my Instagram just so we can have like a place to comment and things like that, so I can hear what you guys have to say. But yeah, overall, I loved it. Can't wait for season two. I think it's going to be sometime next year, probably around the same time. So, you know, I believe they already started shooting for it and stuff like that. So besides all that, thank you guys for joining me again. I already said that, but I'm saying it again. Until next time, Fire Team out.